Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." This is the word of God.
So will you pray with me this morning? Lord, Heavenly Father, we are just grateful to be here, grateful to be worshiping together, and grateful for your word. Lord, we ask that your word really quicken our minds and our souls and our spirits, that we may do what it says and become closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, ever since the baseball season ended, and the Dodgers aren't on TV every night, I'm sorry, I have to start over. Now, ever since, you know, they're not on every night, my wife sometimes wants me to watch with her some of those grittier television shows that she likes. You know, things that are a little bit more on the, I don't know, the, I guess, realistic side, you know, the grittier side of life. And I have to say, I'm not always up for that, you know. I'm the kind that, you know, I'm kind of more content just to fire up on my little phone, my Netflix, you know, and maybe watch Fuller House, or maybe one of the ends of one of those Hallmark Christmas movies. Has anybody seen those? Yeah. You know, they're so great because everything turns out exactly the way that you want it to, the way you know it should be, and everything looks perfect. It's so good. But anyway, she doesn't want to watch those things. I kind of do. So we have our choices, right? And it's kind of a good thing. We live in what I look at as kind of a clickable culture, right? We can click on those things that we really like. And on the other hand, those things that are unpleasant to us, or those things that we really don't want to get into too much, we can kind of, with a click of the remote or a click of the mouse, just kind of navigate away from those things. Now, it wasn't always like that, right? Some of you remember, in the olden days, there were three channels on television, and at 6 o'clock, everybody watched the news. And it was all the same news for everybody. So it was kind of hard to navigate away from those things we remember seeing on television. You remember the racial tensions that erupted into riots and civil unrest and the Vietnam War that really divided the nation. And you kind of had to have these conversations with people because there was really no way to avoid it. It's just not that way anymore. Now we can kind of click away from what we don't want to deal with. And as I say, you know, when you come home from work, you've had a hard day or whatever it is, maybe you just don't want any more complications. So, you know, clicking on a Hallmark movie, whatever it is, it's not such a big deal. But when we get in the habit, if we get in the mindset of sort of navigating away from those real needs that are before us, that maybe God is calling us to address in our homes, in our church, in the world at large. If we get in the habit of kind of clicking off those things, it's a real shame. Because the truth is, the more that we can sort of click on compassion, the more that we can do the deeds to fill the needs of the least of these, the more we can do those deeds, the more into contact and into relationship we come with Jesus. And I think that goes for all of us in this room who are believers, but it also goes for those non-believers out there. And that's one of the stunning things about this passage today. This passage is a stunning passage. It's a passage that actually we might often want to navigate away from because it seems like it's all about judgment and condemnation. But if you dig down just a little deeper, I think we can see that it's not so much about that. It's really about the broadness of God's mercy to all people. Now this passage, it starts off with Jesus. He's talking to his disciples, right? And he's painting a picture of the judgment, the last judgment. And in this picture, he puts himself in it. He puts himself in as the shepherd of this big herd of animals that he calls the nations. And he is separating the nations to sheep and goats. He's separating sheep from goats. And everybody knows, of course, that Jesus is talking to us. He's not talking about livestock. He's talking about people. And the people that he pushes over to the right, those sheepy people, those are the people that God favors, that God has blessed, and who will be welcomed into the kingdom. And those goats that he puts on the left are not. But here's the stunning thing about the passage. If you look at what it says, that word nations is really important. Because in Jesus' time, and in Old Testament time, the nations always referred to anybody who was not Jewish, anybody who was an outsider, anybody who was not in that covenant relationship with God. In other words, anybody who wasn't God's people. Now, you see it all the time in the Old Testament. You'll see references to the nations. You'll see where the Jewish people, those people who are in covenant relationship with God, are hoping for the day that they will defeat and rule over the nations. You see warnings about how those people should not let themselves and their traditions get corrupted by the ways of the nations. So it's this outsider thing. It's the nations, those people over there. But by the time Jesus is saying these words, and by the time that Matthew writes this gospel, the whole idea of who is the nations has kind of shifted. Because of the resurrection, because of the good news that now all people, regardless of who they are, regardless of race, can come into that covenant relationship with God, that all people can be adopted into God's family by faith in Jesus Christ, suddenly you have a new definition of who the nations are. The nations are those people who have not come into faith with Jesus, who have not accepted Christ's lordship in their lives. Now, this is important because those nations that Jesus is referring to, those nations, the people that he has separated into goats and into sheep, are those nations, are those people who have not accepted God's leadership, Jesus' kingship in their lives. So it's really awesome news for all people. Because what it says is that all of those people on the outside, those people can come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And he tells them how they can do that, to come into a kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. And they do that by their deeds. Those people who are not in that covenant relationship with God, God still takes their deeds seriously. Those people, regardless of who they are, even the most strident atheist, can come into a kind of relationship with Jesus when they feed the hungry, when they sate the thirsty, when they clothe the naked, when they welcome the stranger, when they click on compassion, when they come to their lives with that compassion for other people. God takes that seriously. He takes that seriously. If we take this passage seriously, we have to understand then that at the judgment, when the judgment comes, Jesus is going to look at these people. And he's going to say, you need to go to the right. You are a sheepy person because you served me. And the people are going to say, wait a minute, what are you talking about, Jesus? I never served you. Where did you come from? I've never served you. And Jesus will say, when you did those deeds to fill the needs of the least of these, you did it to me. Keep the line moving, you go to the right. There are going to be big surprises for the nations on that judgment day. But you know who shouldn't be surprised, I think, by this idea that God's grace is going to be that broad and that merciful? Who should not be surprised at all are those of us who do have faith. Those of us whose lives have been touched and transformed by and filled up with the love of Jesus. Those of us who have come into full-blooded, forgiven, and justified and sanctified relationship with Jesus Christ, for us, it should come as no surprise that God's mercy can be this broad. Because we know, we believe, that God is moving throughout the world right now in the power of the Holy Spirit, doing anything God can do to draw everybody into that relationship with Christ, using any avenue that is available. And we know, if we think about our own stories, I'm sure we know how mysteriously and how persistently God went after every single one of us. And we also know that Christ is king over any good thing that happens in the world, regardless of who is doing it. So we shouldn't be surprised that God's mercy is so broad that some mercy is going to be extended to those on the outside, those nations. And we shouldn't be surprised also that those of us who are in this covenant relationship with Christ are held to a heightened standard of our responsibility to do the deeds, to fill the needs of the least of these. That we have that higher standard always to click on compassion, whether it's in our families and people who just need to be heard, whether it's in our workplaces, whether it's here at church, whether it's in the outside world, to click on compassion because we are the ones who are leading the nations into acts of compassion that bring them into that relationship with Jesus, that serving relationship that God takes seriously, because every act of compassion, no matter who does it, breaks a little bit of that person's heart, softens that heart, opens that heart to a relationship with Jesus. And I've seen that happen. Maybe you have too. Every year we go up to do mission work with the Sierra Service Project, right? And every time we go, there are people there, youth and counselors alike, who are on fire for Jesus. They are sold out to Jesus. If there's a dial of like sold outness, that's like around 10. And they are just on fire and they are serving for the love of Jesus. But there are other people who on that dial, they're down around, you know, 4, 3, maybe even 0. As was the case with one young woman who was in my work group about 4 years ago. Getting acquainted with her, she revealed to me that she was an out-and-out atheist. She didn't believe in God at all. She had been sort of, you know, involved, or a friend of a friend of this youth group. But she wanted to serve people. She wanted to serve people. And as we talked, she came out. She said that was proof to her. Her desire to want to serve was proof to her that a person could be good without God. Now, our, you know, Wesleyan theology would say kind of the opposite, that any good in the world actually is proof that the Holy Spirit exists in the world. But, you know, we didn't go down that kind of path. Instead, I just kind of clicked on compassion and listened to her. And it became clear that this poor kid, you know, she had no foundation in faith at all. She was confused and upset and angered by the injustice and the suffering that she sees in the world. And she'd had painful experiences herself with her parents' divorce and was just trying to handle all this stuff. Well, we debated, you know, gently back and forth, you know, and just kind of talked. And by the end of it, we, you know, agreed to disagree. But she told me later that was the first time she'd had a conversation where she felt free enough to kind of lay out all that she was and all of her ideas for a church person, and that she felt respected. Now, I'm not saying this to say that I'm like awesome, but what I am saying, though, is in this Jesus environment, in that week at this camp, that Jesus environment, what happened was she had that experience with others over and over and over and over again. And while we were together doing those deeds to fill the needs of the least of these, as we worked together in these acts of compassion, I saw her demeanor change. She became a lot more relaxed. The anger sort of melted away. She was laughing. She was smiling. She even opened herself up to worship. Now, I don't know where she is today on her journey of faith. But I know this. During that week, being in this Jesus environment and doing those deeds of compassion, she was being nudged to the right, nudged to the right. Coming more and more into relationship through service with Jesus Christ. And I think that God takes that relationship really seriously. Now look, are there people who just can't do deeds of compassion? Are there people who, because maybe they've clicked away so habitually, so long, that they no longer have any compassion for anyone? Are there people out there who just everything they do is ultimately self-serving? That may be true. It probably is. But guess what? We can't know that because we can't know anybody's heart. But we can know this. We can know this. God takes and uses acts of compassion. And while we are saved from sin by faith alone, faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and not our deeds, deeds still matter. It's by our deeds that we can measure how sold out we are, how fully we really are ruled by Christ the King. And it's by deeds. Deeds as a means of grace. It's by these deeds that God can pull even the nations closer and closer into some kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we can really rejoice in good wherever we see it, no matter who is doing it. Because we know that if there is good, the Holy Spirit is involved. If there is good, Christ is King over that good. So it doesn't matter where it comes from. We can rejoice that God is calling all the nations to Himself. And we can also rejoice that we are called in a heightened kind of way to do everything we can to not click away, but do the deeds to fill the needs of the least of these. as we lead all of the nations closer to Christ. As every day we click on compassion. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Jesus, we are always in awe of your mystery, the mystery of the way that you work in this world. We are grateful, O God, for how you have drawn us into a faith relationship with you, where, Lord, we are saved by grace. And, Lord, we ask that you help us in any way possible to be that light to others, that they may, too, come into relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.